51, Awake My Soul, and With the Sun, the Daily Stage of Duty Run. United States in marking the 250th anniversary of American independence. We follow the order of Holy Communion with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace.
Almighty God,
our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn, number 92, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear.
It soothes our sorrows, heals it.
Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, beginning at verse 16.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As already indicated, this weekend marks 250 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence in the United States. A real milestone for a nation. On whatever country we inhabit, whatever our political convictions, it is worth pausing to give thanks for the freedoms we enjoy, for the generations who have sacrificed to preserve them. And in the United States, for the democratic experiment that has endured longer than many thought possible. But anniversaries are not only occasions for celebration, they are also opportunities for reflection. They invite us to ask not only where we have been, but also who we have become. And so on this weekend, perhaps the question before us is a simple one. What does freedom actually mean? For 250 years, Americans have debated that question. Most can hopefully agree that freedom means freedom from tyranny, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom to participate in the shaping of our common life. These are precious gifts, and if we are lucky enough to enjoy them, we should never take them for granted. But the readings appointed for today suggest that there is a deeper question still, not simply, are we free, but what are we doing with our freedom? Because political freedom and spiritual freedom are not the same thing. The Apostle Paul understood that. In our epistle reading from his letter to the Romans, Paul says something startling. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. And I suspect many of us know exactly what he means. We know the experience of wanting to do one thing and finding ourselves doing another. We want to be patient, but we lose our temper. We want to be generous, but we cling tightly to what we have. We want to forgive, but we carry old grievances. We want to love our neighbor, but fear and prejudice get in the way. Paul is describing a type of bondage that no government can solve. A nation can be politically free while its people remain captive to greed, prejudice, hatred, violence, selfishness, addiction, or despair. The founders, not just of the United States, but of this country, understood that free societies require virtuous citizens. Paul goes even deeper. The problem is not simply that we sometimes make bad decisions. The problem is that there are forces within us that distort us from becoming the people God created us to be. And what is true of individuals can also become true of nations. The contradictions Paul sees in himself can become embedded in an entire society. We can proclaim liberty while tolerating or even propagating injustice. We can celebrate equality while excluding some of our neighbors. We can speak of human dignity while turning away from those who are suffering or are most vulnerable. We can honor freedom while failing to ask whether everyone truly has the opportunity to flourish. The Christian faith has never allowed us to imagine that freedom alone is enough. Freedom is not an end in itself. The question before us always is, freedom for what? And it is precisely there that Jesus enters into the conversation. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He reassures his followers in our gospel story for today. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not promise victory. He does not promise wealth. He does not promise national greatness. He does not promise that our side will win. He promises rest. And perhaps that sounds almost disappointingly small until we stop and consider how many people are weary, how many people are carrying burdens, people burdened by grief, by illness, by loneliness, by economic uncertainty, by fear about the future, by the relentless anger and division that seem to define so much of public life. Jesus' vision of a healthy society looks so different from the measurements we often use. We tend to measure success through wealth, power, military strength, economic growth, influence. Jesus poses a different question. Are the weary finding rest? Are burdens being lifted? Are people being treated with gentleness? And then Jesus names something even more surprising. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. This is the turning point. The highest value is not power as we usually define it, not strength as domination. Jesus paints a different type of life entirely. Gentleness and humility are not traits we often celebrate in public life today. We admire strength, we admire confidence, we admire winning, but Jesus points towards a better way of being human. The power of God appears not in domination, but in humility, not in coercion, but in love, not in crushing enemies, but in carrying burdens. If we want to know whether our lives or our nation are becoming more aligned with God's kingdom, then questions we should ask are much simpler. Are we becoming more like the one who speaks to us in this way? This may be one of the most challenging questions we can ask, particularly for those in the United States on a weekend devoted to celebrating freedom, but also in our own country, as we will soon have appointed yet another prime minister. Yet Jesus reveals that true freedom is not merely the ability to do whatever we want. True freedom is the ability to love, the ability to serve, the ability to become the people of God, the people God created us to be. And that is where other readings, a point for today, which we haven't read, but they do meet us this morning. In the book Genesis, Rebekah, who has been chosen to be Isaac's wife, is asked a simple question. Will you go with this man? And she answers, I will. She leaves behind everything she has ever known and steps into a future she cannot see. This illustrates a moment of invitation. It's not about coercion. It's not about force. It's about the freedom to say yes, the freedom to respond to a call, the freedom to trust, the freedom to step into God's future. And perhaps that is what Christian freedom ultimately means. Not merely freedom from something, but freedom for something. Freedom for love, freedom for compassion, freedom for justice, freedom for mercy, freedom for building communities where every person knows they belong, freedom from participating in God's work of healing the world. So, on this 250th anniversary of America's founding, perhaps the question before us is not simply whether we are free. Perhaps the deeper question is what we are doing with our freedom. Are we using it only for ourselves? Or are we using it to build a society where burdens are lighter, where the weary find rest, where the vulnerable are protected, where strangers are welcomed, where power is exercised with humility, where love of neighbor is more than a slogan? The gospel does not ask us to reject our love of country, but it does ask us to measure every nation, including our own, against the character of Jesus Christ. And Jesus remarkably tells us that the deepest truth about power is not greatness, but gentleness. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. So may God give us the wisdom to use our freedom well, and may God help us become the type of people and the land of nations that more closely reflect the gentle and humble heart of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
On page 205, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we are gathered together in love and fellowship, hear us as we bring before you our cares and fears for the world. Everlasting God, we pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese and for David, our bishop, for Christians everywhere meeting to worship and praise you. Grant that we and all your people may be built up into the united and faithful family you deserve. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, we give you thanks for all the different Christian fellowships in our locality. We pray for our parish of Annahilt, for those who minister and teach, for all who help us develop our understanding of God and help us respond to his love. In a moment of silence, we bring before God someone who has helped us on our Christian journey. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, we pray for Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, and the government, the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, Deputy First Minister, Emma Little-Pengelly, and the Executive, and to all who work in places of power and influence, and who make decisions which affect the lives of people. We ask you to bless those who work in politics, especially all who are seeking peace agreements, but also those in the media, in advertising, and in the financial markets. May they know what to say and how to act for the benefit of all people and at all times. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for those we love, our family and friends, the special people in our lives, wherever they may be. We pray for them as they deal with their hopes, their fears, their problems, and their needs. Most of all, we thank you for each one of those dear to us who have passed to eternity, and for what they gave and meant to us. And in a moment of silence, we thank God for a family member or friend whose memory and example we treasure. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, in today's readings we heard about the struggles St. Paul had in his ministry and the worries that Abraham's servant had searching for a wife for his master's son. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us when we are worried or struggling, and we pray for all people who are struggling and worrying today. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving Father, we bring before you all those we know who are in need of your healing and peace. Comfort the bereaved, in particular the extended family of Beth Harrison. Also the sick and the suffering, with your healing and living presence. And in a moment of silence, we bring before God anyone on our hearts today. Restore and support weak bodies, quiet confused minds, and reassure the lonely with your love. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we have put before you our concerns, and we thank you for all the blessings and gifts you lavish on us. In the weeks ahead, help us to keep the faith deeply and passionately. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Now in the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume
to
come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your tables, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 451. We come as guests invited. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
We follow the Second Communion prayer on page 212. At the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places. Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Continue on page 214. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing.
Merciful Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, and we ask that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and his blood. Who in the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks and praise, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son. And bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom and in whom, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise.
Blessings and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. You and keep you in eternal life. God bless you and keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Thank you. body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. 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 The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Holy and blessed God, as you give us the body and blood of your Son, guide us with your Holy Spirit, that we may honor you not only with our lips, but also with our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. I deeply regret to record the death of Mrs. Beth Harrison, one of our best known and visibly present parishioners, both in church Sunday by Sunday and in the various organizations to which she belonged until the recent decline in her health. We will remember her cheerfulness, which was infectious, her willingness to be involved and to serve, which meant so much to all in this parish and in the wider community. Beth's funeral will be on this coming Wednesday in this church at 2:00. Sunday next, the sixth Sunday after Trinity, morning prayer at 10:00. The recessional hymn on the sheet provided, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat, sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. With a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching. Glory, glory, alleluia.
is wisdom to the mighty, he is succor to the brave. Toby Earl shall be his footstool, and the soul of time his slave, while God